Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were just encouraged to make it a good last 2 hours, so we intend to do just that. We will talk with Tim Brown in just a minute. He will be live in studio, but also...
We cannot cuss for the rest of the day.
No S?
We cannot say bad words, Kevin, for the rest of the day. Be careful.
Okay. I hope that will happen either way. In the meantime, let's navigate through that NFC East. Always choose your own adventure as we go through the East. Do you want the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Commanders, or the Giants?
Start with the top. Let's go with the Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they were on a bye this past week, but it gives us an opportunity to reflect on a couple of things. Has Jalen Hurts been better than people think this year?
That depends on what better than people think is.
How good do you think he's been? Sixth quarterback, 10th quarterback?
No, what stat? Touchdowns, interceptions, whole thing. I'll say he's a top 7 quarterback.
All right. Through the first 8 weeks, touchdown interception ratio 15-1. That is best in the NFL. Offensive touchdowns 20, second best in the NFL. Passer rating 114.4, third in the NFL. Next generation completion percentage over expected 7.6, better than expected, third in the NFL. Now, I know there are plenty of other stats to deconstruct what a quarterback is, but it does kind of seem like perhaps the faults of Jalen Hurts were a little bit exaggerated.
Yeah.
You smell something burning also?
Yeah, I always do. Okay, good. I'm having a stroke.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, I think when you're watching on the field, you're like, there should be more. And I think a lot of people are frustrated that there's not more, A.J. Brown being one of them. And so I think that he is conservative when it comes to turning over the football. He also knows he can run.
Right.
That is one of the factors that he's like, at any given point, if I don't feel comfortable with the throw, I can take off running. And so I think that does definitely kill people's thought on him that he's not making these big time throws and these big time windows because he doesn't want to risk it. Because he wants to keep that turnover touchdown ratio like that.
Unfortunately, I have a couple more positive Eagles notes. Dallas Goedert has played 7 games and has 7 touchdowns. That already surpasses his career high for touchdowns. Probably not for games played. Although, who knows? Quinyon Mitchell, he ranks number 6 in completion percentage again per Pro Football Focus. And this isn't like a grade system as much as it is a factual system. And that's 6th lowest. Quarterbacks are only completing 45% of the passes against him.
Wow.
He continues to just evolve into, looks like just a damn fine player.
Yeah. I wonder, you know what? Since we are going to have Tim Brown in studio here in just a minute, it'd be fun to ask about, like,
good question.
Like, when cornerbacks are that good, what is it that they're doing to be
right.
that good?
Right.
What is it they're doing to give up the booty?
No.
When they do.
All right. Now, if you're following the standings, next would be your Dallas Cowboys. Is that what you would like to go with?
Let's go with the Cowboys.
All right. Keep in mind, I have positive numbers for you, even though you saw the game. The Cowboys tied a season high with 5 sacks on Monday night. They also recorded 5 sacks against the Jets, but they won that game. For Javonte Williams, he has averaged at least 5 yards a carry 5 times this season. That is tied with James Cook and J.K. Dobbins for the most such games among NFL running backs this season. I realize there are a lot of problems on this team. It does not feel necessarily like Javonte Williams is one of them.
Do you think that he can continue this? I mean,
I think I do now because I had so much doubt. And I feel foolish to have doubted this move because it's worked better than I could have imagined.
The main factor, obviously, is how much of an impact the offensive line will have.
Sure.
If they can't block it, you can't run it. It's just not going to happen. Even Barry Sanders had holes to run through.
Right.
But there is a difference between a regular running back and a dude that can take advantage of what's happening in front of him. And Javonte Williams is taking advantage of, once he sees that hole is open, he's going. And Kevin, I love the fact that once he gets to the second level, he's physical, because that he's not going to cut. He's like, I'll just put my shoulder in you, and then I'm going to the next level with that. So I'm liking that a lot too, but they're blocking it up pretty well. They're drawing up good plays to get him space to run through.
You know, you asked if he can keep this up. I might have to revise, because right now, you know, Javonte Williams is on pace to have 1,352 yards rushing, 15 rushing touchdowns, and a 5.2 yard per carry average.
It's a great season.
It really
that's
is.
That's an exceptional season for a free agent that you got for rather cheap.
CeeDee Lamb, 7 catches on Monday night. He has 531 career catches, tied with Dez Bryant for the third most in franchise history. However, on the flip side, and this is not so great, Marvin Harrison Jr., he caught 7 of his 10 targets on Monday night, 96 yards and a touchdown. That included 5 of 6 of his targets for 61 yards on 11 routes, matched up with Deron Bland. So think about it. They were matched up 11 times. More than half the time, they threw it to Marvin Harrison, and 5 of the 6 times, he caught it.
Kevin, that was not, obviously, the Cowboys were not his panacea for getting
Stop
over
saying panacea.
100 yards receiving. But Aaron Whitecotton, defensive line coach for the Cowboys, rant about Quinnen Williams. I'm excited. Obviously, we have a history together. It was a good history. He's a phenomenal person, phenomenal player. He's hardworking. I was telling Coach, he's probably the most humble, hardworking top pick I've ever been around.
Whoa.
He just comes to work every day with a hard hat mentality, which
I
is
like
something that.
That
they need.
That feels a little bit different than perhaps the Cowboys' perception of that one player that Jerry won't name. All right, do you want the Commanders or the Giants?
Let's go with the Giants.
For the Giants, Wandale Robinson is all of us. After they lost to the 49ers, fell to 2-7 on the season. It's a variation of that kid for the Jets. And he said, I hate this S. And that just feels fair. Part of the problem was that defense. Mac Jones completed his first 14 passes in the first half.
Dang.
And like, it feels like you're probably going to lose. Like, you go back to Darnold with 16 of 16. If you give up no incompletions in the first half and it's not against like a 90s or a 2000s academy.
Or Alex Smith.
Yeah, you're probably going to lose.
Which I know you love Alex Smith.
Alex Smith was a quality quarterback.
And he could complete a whole bunch of passes for 7 yards.
Hey! He taught Patrick Mahomes everything he knows.
What?
That's what Patrick Mahomes said. I might be exaggerating part of that quote. Not as much as you think. Jackson Dart, 24 of 33 for 191 yards. He also had 2 touchdowns and a passer rating of 107. He also had 8 carries for 56 yards and another touchdown. Was able to do all of that. They still lost. I wonder, especially with a young quarterback, if they are putting way too much on his shoulders. Now, Christian McCaffrey, what was he able to accomplish against the Giants? He scored a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown in the same game. That's the 16th time he's done that in his NFL career. That breaks the record all time with a Hall of Famer. Who do you think used to have the record for most games with a receiving and rushing touchdown in the same game?
Receiving and Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk is correct. He had 15. Christian McCaffrey now has 16. And he said, that's an honor. Faulk is one of the best to ever play the game. I feel like Marshall Faulk is appropriately appreciated in the history of football.
Faulk has won a Super Bowl too.
That's true. Will Christian McCaffrey be appreciated in the history of football?
I think a lot of fantasy owners are going to hold seasons where they drafted him and he got hurt against him.
Against him.
I think a lot of fantasy owners are also going to look back and go, he won me some championships.
Okay.
But I just don't think he's going to get the respect if he doesn't have the championship to go along with it.
Interesting.
Or even multiples.
You don't think that's going to happen, though? Right?
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
But he is the workhorse for every team he's ever been on.
for the Commanders. Well, obviously, they have all kinds of problems. Jayden Daniels faced 50% pressure on his dropbacks. That was the highest of his career. But
doesn't have an elbow anymore.
Yeah, then he got hurt, so maybe that part doesn't matter. But let's talk about the defense. We talked about this defense a lot early in the season when people were super high on the Commanders. The Commanders' defense, they're 21st in points, 27th in yards given up, and they have given up 25 or more points in each of their four straight losses.
They're bad.
The Seahawks, they passed that in the first half.
Yeah.
Remember, at the first half, that game was O-V-E-R over. Now, here is another potentially huge problem for the Commanders. Dan Quinn was talking about Terry McLaurin. Obviously, he missed the last game against Seattle. But also, Ian Rapoport added that he could be out against the Lions, and he could be out against the Dolphins for their game in Spain.
Dang.
Now, that's not set in stone.
Especially after that contract.
Yes.
I mean, that's frustrating.
And what was one of the things that we talked about in our offseason study about the best players in the NFL? The vast majority of them are under 30, especially at key positions like this. And I know Terry McLaurin, who had just turned 30 when he signed that contract, was like, hey, I'm going to see if I can prove it wrong and change that narrative. He has 13 catches this year for 203 yards and a touchdown.
That's unfortunate. That really is. I mean, the Cowboys, their study has shown running backs under 30 is where they stick. They've stuck to that for a while. So that stinks for him. As great as I think he's been, he had to be around those quarterbacks for most of his career, and now he finally had one that he could run with, and that dude can't stay healthy, and he can't either. That stinks.
Is this division starting to just kind of spiral out of control? Because all three of the teams that played, they lost. And then you look at this weekend, Monday Night Football, the Eagles, they're underdogs against the Packers. The Commanders, they're massive underdogs against the Lions. They are 8.5-point underdogs. Obviously, the Cowboys don't play, but the Giants are underdogs as well. Could we see a second straight weekend in which all of the NFC East teams that play lose?
Yes. This division has got, it's kind of beat up right now.
It really is.
In a lot of different ways, more than just one. Like, the Cowboys are not there beat up in health.
Right.
They're just mostly, well, I guess in safety for sure. But they're beat up because they're bad in a lot of areas. And then the other two teams, like the Giants are bad in a lot of areas, and they don't have Malik Nabers. And that's a frustrating thing.
Yeah.
So, this division could be in a weird spot.
And just juxtapose the top of the West and the East, or excuse me, the top of the South and the East, where Bucks and Eagles are both 6-2. Look at their point differential. Eagles plus 23, Bucks plus 19. Two teams that are 6-2 in the West, Seattle and the Rams, plus 81 and plus 82.
Wow.
That is a staggering difference right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we might just do a little NFL overreaction or reality right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Oh, man. We bring to you Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, lover of all things Metroplex. It is Tim Brown. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Man, we're great. Doing fantastic, except for the Cowboys and stuff. But
and the Mavericks.
Yeah, and the Mavericks, but the Stars won at least yesterday.
There you go.
How the heck have you been? We haven't seen you in a minute.
Man, I'm here, brother. You know?
You are. Indeed, you are.
I'm here, but I'm doing good. Things are well.
I know it's become a bigger deal over, especially like the last 5 to 7 years. Was there ever much of a concern or discussion of the trade deadline when you were playing in the NFL? Like I said, I know it's gotten to be more of a big deal, yeah. But was there ever rumblings in the locker room about, I heard this?
Yeah, well, you know, up until, 94, I was on the trade block every year, you know. There was something. Me and Mr. Davis just didn't see eye to eye.
Right.
About certain things. So
seems like a lot of people might have fallen into that category.
I was way down the list, no doubt about that. But so, yeah, I mean, one of the first things I did when I got a chance to control my contract was I put in a no trade clause.
Okay.
So if I got traded, it was only because I wanted to get traded. So, and I thought that was important because, you know, that it's not a good feeling when your name is floating around and you don't know if you're going to be in Oakland or in LA or, you know, you're going to be in Philadelphia the next day, you know.
Did you ever have to think about the logistics of not just like playing, but like, oh man, do I have to sell my house?
It's a nightmare. Yeah. It's a nightmare. I mean, even when I eventually left Oakland and went to Tampa for my last season, I mean, getting all that done, you know, you don't want to dump all that in your wife's lap. So now you got to bring in other people to do it. And, you know, it was a nightmare, no doubt about it.
So Cowboys just got two new players on the defensive side of the ball. How much of an adjustment is that when a new guy comes in? Because now he's got to get to know the guys. They all kind of know each other, though. You all kind of know each other a little bit, but now you got to learn a couple things, find out where the bathrooms are, obviously.
And that's really the toughest part of the whole deal. The locker room part would be the easiest part. You know, I mean, hey, it's another brother coming in trying to get it done. Let's get it done, you know. And so from that standpoint, I think it'd be all good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Learning where to go eat at night. Don't want to be in a hotel, you know, those type things. You know, he's going to need somebody really quickly to help him out, because you don't want this guy, you know, who is supposed to come here and wreak havoc. You don't want him thinking about those kind of things when he's on the football field.
Yeah, that was always like my favorite Bill Parcells. While he was here, one of the things that he said, I think it was Bobby Carpenter, came in and he was like, let's let him figure out what the bathroom is first. And he was like, then we'll see about getting him on the field. Like,
yes, that's that part later. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes those rookies take a second.
Did you, and this is not really related necessarily to what we were just talking about, but I have to know, because I think about this probably too much. Did you ever watch that 30 for 30 with Al Davis where they creepily recreated him in his conversation?
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
Okay. Thank
creepy,
you.
Yeah.
Okay. I just need everybody I meet that might have seen it. I just need to agree with me that was weird. And like, why did they do that? Have you been keeping tabs on the Cowboys this year? And even if not, I think we all agree that the defense needed.
You know, living in Dallas, man, you can't help but to, you know, hear about the Cowboys. I tell people, look, two teams I keep up with now, obviously the Raiders and the Cowboys, because I'm in Dallas. Every place I go, hey, man, what do you think about that game last night?
Yep,
you
know, so is that better? Is them saying, what did you think about that game, better than the weird, vague question of how about the Cowboys, huh? Like, what are you supposed to say to that? Like, what specifically do you want to know?
I don't think I've heard that in like 30 years. That's when the Cowboys went. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, how about those Cowboys? Now people are like, oh my God, what are they doing? So, look, this team, man, is it's tough. You know, when you take somebody like Michael Parsons out of the locker room, you know, it's more than what happens on the field. Now you're talking about, because we don't know, but they know. They know what was taken out of the locker room. And I in my experience, and, you know, you guys have obviously seen, you know, championship teams around here. And I was in locker rooms that should have been championship teams, but because of this or that, it didn't happen, you know. So I just know that, you know, this is bigger than what they lost on the field. And you can see it. I mean, all of a sudden, this went from one of the best defenses to one of the worst defenses in the league. And that's not because of personnel. I mean, that's just because of the mojo, man. There's no feeling. There's nothing there for these guys to latch on to and feel about.
Yeah, know? I think you're dead on with it when it comes to, like, the level of play, the guys that have been through those things before, and they have a certain expectation when they come to work every day. And they know what to expect. You know, listening to the Cowboys offensive line, they did a little special on that Tyron Smith, Zach Martin group, and they were talking about how hard they worked. You listen to Troy Aikman and those guys talk about, we worked hard. The talent level may have been the same in some areas, but the work we put in every day, we wanted championships. That was the deal.
Yeah.
And that's a different mentality that you have to come to work with every day.
It is, man. And you need leadership in that category. You need people to come out and do that. And so people can see this is how it's supposed to get done. And if you don't have that per se, then you're going to go out and play football.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go out and play great football. You're just going to go out and play football. You know,
the we were talking a minute ago about Quinyon Mitchell for Philadelphia, the cornerback up there who's just having another exceptional season. And I was kind of going through my mind. I have a wide receiver to ask this question to. Guys like Revis, Nnamdi Asamoah, they had these years that they were unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Like they were some of the best cornerbacks you see. What is it that they do so well in those seasons where they are shutting people down, shutting receivers down? What is it that they do so well to be that kind of corner?
Well, you know, in my eyes, there was never a shutdown corner, right? You know what I mean? That's just the way it. I thought.
I imagine you need that mentality.
But look, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, you have a guy like Deion that you're going up against. You have a guy like Dale Carter back in the day, you know. We can go on and on with names, and you know, even to the guys that you mentioned,
the Daryl Greens,
all those guys. I mean, Daryl Green was a beast.
It was amazing.
I mean, you know,
when I was a kid, I thought he was the greatest defensive football player there was.
I mean, you know, because you were never open with Daryl Green, right? You know, we're gonna run by him for sure. But even trying to, you know, my whole deal was. When I put my foot in the ground, nobody was good enough to, you know, stay with me.
Yeah.
You know, but this guy, man, picking balls off. I'm like, oh, bro, wait a minute now. we can't be playing that game when you picking off my routes and all that stuff. But look, I mean, the one thing you have to be able to do, you have to be able to shut down one particular thing about that receiver, right? So you're saying to the receiver, you're not going outside no matter what you do. So whatever you want to do inside, I'm going to play you to, but you're not coming outside, you know, or I'm going to play you inside. And when these guys are able to do that, it makes it very difficult. Now you're in the quarterback's head
because
we got this play call, but he's shutting them out on the outside or inside, and it becomes problematic. So now the quarterback is automatically going, I'm not looking over here. I'm going to the other side of the field. And, you know, you do that two or three, four times. You do it for a season. All of a sudden, you're a shutdown corner.
And then you got that, you know, okay, now the defensive coordinator knows, yes. I'm going to funnel him inside. The safety can step up a little bit. Maybe he can get in. That communication, though, that's what we've seen as part of a frustration as Cowboys fans is the communication in the secondary doesn't look like it's there.
No. I mean, look, when you have young guys playing like they have playing right now, it's really difficult, man. I mean, because you go over all this stuff, you do all this practicing, but you get on the field, it's like, your head just blow up, man. And, you know, you have to be able to settle yourself down, man, and play this game. And you could just tell right now they're running the plays. They're running the defense. They're not playing the game. You know what I mean? I mean, you can call defenses all day long, but sometimes you got to adjust.
Yeah.
And there's no adjustments going on right now.
Does it ever feel like, because people use the poker analogy, if you sit down at the table and you don't essentially know who the chump is, it's you.
Yeah.
Would you line up and you would see a defensive back, especially a young one, and you're like, that guy. Put me with that guy. I'll torch him.
I mean, there's been some, you know, I was talking about this early in the season with somebody. I forget who it was. We were talking about, they would ask me the best game I ever had, all right, yardage-wise. And it was versus the Jets in, I think, 1995. And the guy who they had on me is the guy who is the defensive coordinator for the Broncos, man. Vance Joseph, yeah. Oh. And they had just converted him from, like, being a receiver or something. So, and they were down to, like, their – so they're like, hey, Vance, you got Tim Brown today, right?
Thanks a lot.
And I had, like, 250 at halftime. And the Raiders were like, hey, do you want to go break the record? I was like, look, man, I'm not, you know – I wish I would have went for 400 because I would still have that record probably. But, yeah, I mean, there are times where you see people out there, you go, you know, you give people their respect because they made it that far. But at the same time, you know that this should be a game that you should dominate.
Was that the most yards even more than any game at Woodrow Wilson? I know maybe you guys didn't have the best team in the world there.
Yeah, probably.
But was that even better than in high school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't have a quarterback. You know, I had to play quarterback when it was time to throw the ball.
Yes, exactly.
that was definitely. Well, I had an all-purpose game at Notre Dame. The reason how the game Notre Dame came to recruit Dante Jones, who ended up going to Oklahoma and playing 10 years at middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, that game I had like 500 yards all-purpose yardage, you know, so kick return, punt return, wow. Long catch, long run. You know, I even picked one off on defense and I almost took back to the house. So
holy cow.
But that was probably well, that was a game that put me on the map because of that game. Notre Dame offered me a scholarship.
Wow. That's freaking amazing.
One of our favorite people is Darren Woodson.
Oh, my God.
And he's just a great dude. You know, great. We got to watch him, obviously, as a player got to see how much of an impact, how he kind of changed the position. Yeah. And we don't understand.
I don't either, brother. I don't get it. It makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
Because that defense was nothing without him.
Right.
You know, the one thing that people, and I'm going through this with Everson Walls right now, too, with the Hall of Fame. The one thing that people don't get is that if you line up on somebody, you're going, oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
This is going to be a problem. And, you know, one of the things that made the Cowboys defense so good back in those days, they didn't substitute a lot on defense. Mm-mm. So when we went to three receivers, I'm thinking I'm about to get some third corner. No. They brought Woodson down on my butt, right? So now I got to deal with this guy who is bigger, stronger.
It's like a linebacker.
You know? So now my routes are going here, and I have never understood why he wasn't the first ballot guy. And I just hope they get it done now and not, you know, put him on the senior list and all that stuff.
Do you think it's less prestigious then? Or does it feel like less prestigious if you had to get in on the senior list?
No,
you're in. Okay. You're in.
Once you're in, brother, once you get that gold jacket and that ring, it means a lot.
And you just mentioned Everson Walls as well. We've talked to Darren Woodson a lot more than Everson Walls. But with Everson Walls, somebody who won a Super Bowl with the Giants. He was three-time first-team All-Pro, led the league in interceptions three different times. That's another one that I don't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Look, I told a guy, I was talking to a Hall of Fame guy. I said, look, man, Everson was probably 4'7", speed-wise, probably 4'7", guy. How many times do you remember him getting beat deep?
Yeah, not really. I mean,
he didn't. How is that possible?
Yeah.
It's possible because his technique was so incredible that it was almost impossible to ever get on top of him, you know, and to be able to get deep on him. So I just think, man, that I don't know what these people are looking at times. You know, look, when I retired, I was second in catches, third in yards, third in touchdowns, and it took 5 years for me to get in, right? So, I know there's other things that they're looking at, but if they're looking at the championships, he has that. If they're looking at, you know, touchdowns and all, I mean, he has everything that you think a guy at that position should have.
When you were talking about the scheme, you can play the scheme, but you got to play the game.
Yeah.
That he and George Teague both told me something that just changed my perception on that. And he said, every once in a while, we would be playing and I would see something.
Yeah.
And I would tell George, I'm going to go make a play. Right. I'm going to vacate where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And he said, but I trusted that George was going to be in that spot too. Yeah. And that's what always makes me think of, like, that's the difference between just showing up and being more than prepared for a game.
No doubt. No doubt about
that. I respect.
It's a game that is ruled by, you know, the play calling and the defense call and all that stuff. But every once in a while, the great ones are able to step outside that box, and nobody knows they're stepping outside that box and make that play. That's what this thing is all about, you know?
You just better make that play, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know when to do it. You know, it's not like I'm doing this every other play, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, that special moment.
I know it's a different sport, but I think about Steph Curry with that all the time. He takes these shots, and I was like, well, he made it, so it's a good shot. Otherwise, his coach would be like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what is that?
Seen Steve Kerr do that? Like, don't. Yeah. Okay,
yeah, right, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe at this particular point, they probably just let him do whatever he wants to do, and it knows he's, you know, he's won enough championships to know when to do that and when not to do it, you know? So
that is very, very fair.
Joined here by Tim Brown, right here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I saw this list this morning. I was kind of hoping to get your thoughts on this because, first off, how much of an impact does a great coach have on a team?
Oh, it's, you know, look, you have to have a coach who knows how to, you know, let me just say this. You know, Coach Holtz back in the day was a coach who could come to me and say, hey, Tim, you know, hey, this is what I need you to do, man. I think that we're going to, you know, put you in this position. And he would go to you and like, God dang it, you son of a, you know, you need to, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And he, you know, but he was able to do that. And it registered with me.
Right.
And it would register with you because that's what you needed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what you need as a coach, man. You can't talk to me the way you talk to you know, especially in the NFL, because now you got guys in their early 20s and their late 30s or mid-30s. So, you know, it's a we're different points in our life. So I got a wife and kids back home, bro. Don't be talking to me, you know.
Right.
Don't be talking to me like I'm some 14-year-old kid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not going to fly.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to do that in order to... Fred Politico used to come in our meeting room like, Timmy, I'm not talking to you. You cuck! The rest of it, he would just go on, you know what I mean? But you have to be able to control your team by individually at the same time speaking to everybody. And that's not something that everybody can do.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I mean, like, that's Jimmy would always say, you treat everybody the same differently.
And that's exactly right.
And it took a while for me to figure that out, but then I see how he treated Michael versus how he treated Troy and all that. So I learned, well, this was the list for semifinalists for head coaches in the Hall of Fame came out. And I wanted to see where these guys stand with you, Schottenheimer, not Brian. Marty.
Yeah, the one I hate, for real. But, I mean, Marty was a great coach, man. Yeah, thankfully, Marcus Allen went there and converted me on him, because I hated that man for sure. But because he hated the Raiders like no other team. But he was a great coach. No doubt.
Did you respect that level of sports hatred, though, too?
Well,
probably more so now.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of went over to cheating, but we won't.
I gotcha.
George Seifert.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, coach won a couple championships. You know, he has to be in there.
Yeah.
You think he gets overlooked because everyone just thinks he.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. Look, I, you know, he drafted me in the league.
Yeah.
He was a head coach at the Raiders at the time. So, but what he did at Denver was incredible, man. So, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. He evolved his coaching style, too. Mm-hmm. It looked like, as he got towards the end with John Elway there, too. Dan Reeves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe Dan's not in right now.
Yeah, this is some kind of
this is crazy.
We've got a lot of issues with the Hall of Fame committee, as you can tell.
Mike Holmgren.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Tom Coughlin.
I'm a waver on that just a little bit.
It feels like a no.
All right. Okay, hold on. Kevin's always hated this line, and it was a Tom Coughlin line, is if you are 5 minutes late, or 5 minutes. What is it? 5 minutes
five
late?
Minutes,
if you're on time,
you're online, you're 5 minutes late.
Tell me when you want me there. I promise I'll be there.
Yeah. No. That they play. Art Shell was like that, too. We just have an 8 o'clock meeting on Fridays, and he would be there at like 7:50, and you come in at 7:55. He's like, why are you late? It's like,
you said
clock's at 7:55, bro. What you talking about?
I always felt bad for Art Shell that he didn't get like another fair second shot at coaching, or a more timely another
well,
shot.
Well, I think people realized that, or believed anyway, that Al was a big part of the reason why he got that job and had the success that he had. And all of a sudden, you know, what ended up happening with him, he ended up almost having issues with the players.
Yeah.
And when you get that reputation of not being you're a player and you're not a player's coach, that can be a problem.
That's the end of it.
There were three others. Belichick, I think we all can kind of agree with that one, even if he cheated a little bit too. Yeah. And then there was, I don't know enough. I'm sorry. I'm not this much of a historian. Buddy Parker and Chuck Knox. I don't have.
Chuck Knox, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know Buddy Parker.
Yeah. So Buddy Parker looks like before my time.
Okay.
Probably before your time as well. So so that's why I'm just going to look. But I was just kind of curious on some of these coaches.
But only one of those guys are going to get in. They're not
gonna it's going to be
multiple
tough.
Multiple coaches at one time.
Which is a shame about.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Whenever we go through, like we had, was it Rondé Barber a few years ago at the Super Bowl? And it was before they announced the Hall of Fame class. Mm. And we knew if he got in, that Darren Woodson wasn't going to get in. We talked to him that day. He was freaking giddy. And we're like, he already knows he got in. Right, and so... Right. nothing against him, but we were just sad. We were like, that means that means Woodson's not going to get in. I don't know if you ever care about things like this, but this is amazing. From the 469, I used to destroy people using Tim Brown on Sega Genesis Madden days. That go route, and it was over.
Absolutely.
Tecmo Bowl.
Absolutely.
Me and Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, I freaking love it.
Unstoppable.
And then, sorry, one more, because I think this is kind of what you were getting at with Schottenheimer. I like you now, Mr. Brown, but man, I hated when the Broncos played you. This is a diehard Broncos fan, and I appreciate that level of, maybe we can be friends.
No doubt about it. You know, I signed with the Broncos. You know, I was trying to get away from the Raiders. I signed the contract. You know, I wanted to go there. Me and John had a plan, man. He was giving me a house and all that stuff and giving me one of his dealerships. And, we just thought there was no way the Raiders were going to match that contract, and strangely enough, they did.
So. Were you disappointed then?
I was, because, again, me and Mr. Davis, we were not seeing eye to eye. I mean, we went to play would have been my last game. We played Buffalo in a division playoff game. I have two catches for 108 yards or whatever, right? Took 185 yards for a touchdown. Found out after the game that the game plan was not to get the ball to Tim Brown, you know? And, you know, if you try to win a playoff game,
that's
you know,
not the right way to do it.
Maybe that's it's not. It
do
just
we know why? That's
well, because my contract was up.
Oh, you know?
And
yeah.
So what just so happened that the week before the Denver game, I get into a fight with Braxton, and one of my guys who's not even suited up comes off the bench and is fighting with me. Only the Raiders, right?
Yeah, yes.
And, so I look up. I was like, Trap, what are you doing? So we get him off the field. Well, because we won the game, the NFL barred him from being on the sideline for the next game.
Wow.
So on the way up to the suite, he hears Al Davis saying, we're going to win this game, and Tim Brown is not going to catch a pass, right? And that was the game plan. So so when you hear that kind of stuff, you just know it's time to separate yourself, right?
Yeah.
So once I got called back, or once they matched the contract, I had a legal pad of like 21 things on it. It took 6 hours, me and Mr. Davis, one-on-one.
Wow.
And I felt a lot better. A lot of stuff I didn't agree with, but at least I knew, mm-hmm. right? And so from that, man, I just said, hey, put your head down, go get it done.
Did you ever consider Dallas?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I tried a couple. Look, I'm going to expose the Cowboys right now. So
I'm in. Let's go.
Don't forget, we got Jerry coming up on Friday.
The first time, and this is a Michael Irvin did, 93, make the Pro Bowl. And I'm over there and I'm thinking, hey, look, you know, let's go to Dallas, right? Let's play second fiddle to Michael. I don't care about that. I just want to be home.
Yeah.
So the bright idea I had was, let's tell Michael what the plan is, right? So I go to Michael and I say, hey, Mike, hey, man, look, contract's up, man. I want to come home to Dallas, man. I'll play second fiddle. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, you ain't coming to Dallas. Oh, no. Oh, no, man. Oh. I was like, Mike, come on, Brown. Come on. I didn't know, man. No, 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 Timmy. No, Timmy. So let me fast forward on that.
Oh,
real quick.
Wow.
That was crazy. So when I get to the Hall of Fame, he greets me and said, we wouldn't have both gotten here if you would have came over. So, I'm not going to disagree with him on that. But so then.
But we would have won in 94 with you then.
Yes. No doubt.
That's the deal. Yeah.
Deion couldn't cover everything. Yeah. You know? And he might not have pass interfered on Michael in that, at the end of that game.
So in 97, my contract was up again. And I had the option to get out of my contract with the Raiders. And there was only one team I wanted to play for. That was the Cowboys. So Steven, Jerry, all these guys were in on it, right? So Al calls them and says, look, the only way he's going to, you know, avoid out his contract is if you guys say that you're going to get him. So just please tell him that you're not going to get him. So, and this is after we had all these conversations mm-hmm. with them about, hey, this is going to happen. And yeah, we're interested in all this stuff. And then all of a sudden we get a call like, well, you know, Tim Brown's too old and we don't want an old receiver. And that's when they went and got Galloway.
Yeah.
So if you remember, Galloway like tore his knee up like two years in a row, whatever.
Yeah.
So my marketing agent every week was sending the Cowboys, Tim Brown, 6'2", 200, Galloway 0 for 0. Literally, they had the NFL to call my marketing agent. Will you please have this guy to stop? He's killing us.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Man. So anyway.
Well, this team currently has what I think is two exceptional receivers.
Yeah,
in Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. They're both individually different, very unique styles of receiver. We'll get texts sometimes that people saying that CeeDee Lamb's not a top five receiver in the NFL. And
a number one wide receiver.
They're like, he's not a number one at all. And I know he plays in a lot of different areas on the field. You can move him outside, inside, you can do whatever. When you watch him play, and there's a lot of different styles for receivers too. Mm-hmm. When you watch him play, do you go, that's a number one receiver?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, first of all, that guy has to have the mentality of being a number one receiver, and that he definitely has, you know. Now, does he run every route perfectly? Does he catch every pass? No, but I can tell you there are a whole bunch of guys who are not, they don't even want to be in that position. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't even put me in a position that I could drop a ball or I could run the route the wrong way. You know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, it's a lot more to it than just catching a whole bunch of passes. Yeah, I know we're used to Michael Irvin. We used to, you know, all these other great ones that we've had around here. But he is who he is. And I think he, you know, look, I mean, sometimes he get a little, you know, he drops some balls, you know, but that's just being over anxious and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely see him as a number one receiver, no doubt about that. And, you know, people, you know, I hate when people start talking like that, man. It's like, you know.
It frustrates me, too, because, I mean, I think very highly of what he does on the field physically. Also, what he puts his body through. Yeah. What you guys put your body through is insane. Going across the middle at times. Yeah. I mean, even what you got to deal with. Getting hit by linebackers.
Well, look, and y'all just keyed in on a conversation that I think is really fascinating as well. I know there's a more, maybe at times, direct pipeline to try to get your hate out to particular people now. When you were playing, were you aware? Did you listen to what outside sources? Because I'm sure there were people who were like, ah, Tim Brown's not that good anyway. Back then, did you hear that or did you care?
I didn't care for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I did not care at all. You know, I mean, the situation I was in, you know, it's like I tell, we joke around at the Hall of Fame, you know, everybody, oh, man, all that. And I just say to these guys, would any one of y'all have switched with me? I would have switched with Michael. I would switch with Chris Carter. I would switch with Andre Reed. I would switch with all those guys. Would anybody who came out there and played with 17 quarterbacks with the Raiders like I did? Would anybody have done that?
Most of them probably say no, right?
Most of them say, oh, well, man, no, Tim, you're not in it. You're not in it. Let's And so, but nah, man, look, you know, there's certain, I mean, one of the things that you have to learn early on, and one of the things that I was taught my rookie year, you know, the first time I touched the ball in the NFL, I returned a kick 97 yards for a touchdown, right? So, right. So all that week, you know, I'm every article, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in the locker room. And Howie Long came and snatched it out of my hand and said, kid, can't be reading your own press clippings. He said, because this week they talking good about you, but next week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You won't be.
Yeah.
And you know, yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's an intimidating fellow.
I never read another article until after I retired.
Really?
Never. And that was my rookie year. So I went 16. Wow. I never read another article because I got it because I was feeling like, oh my God, reading this article, I'm the man. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the man. But what would have happened, you know, 2 weeks later when I dropped the pads?
Your confidence.
You know what I mean? It's, if you're relying on this, then it's going to be a problem. You know?
I always, as a kid growing up watching, as in my teenage years watching, I was just like, well, if John Madden says that he's one of the great players in the game, then he's must be one of the great players in the game. I always thought he did a really good job of like lining up. These guys have these qualities that I like.
He had real football players on that list.
And we don't seem to have that anymore. Where you're just like, that's the one I have to listen to.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And I miss that a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, for a while there, it was more popular for us to make that list than it was to make the Pro Bowl. Yeah, you know
exactly.
I mean?
Did you ever get to talk to John Madden as an aside about what a pain Al Davis could be at times? Because I bet he would have that conversation with you.
I think they had sort of mended all their issues by then. So I didn't want to bring up any bad memories for that brother.
but you're right. The All Madden team was like, that was where it's at.
Yeah. I relied on that.
Yeah.
I was very reliant on that.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask your thoughts on Pickens, too, before we let you go. He's high-pointing a ball, catching deep balls the way he does. It's pretty unique.
Yeah.
Not every single receiver can do it. Larry Fitzgerald was amazing at it.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson has a pretty exceptional style. what he does is a like it's kind of a niche thing for it receivers.
Is. It is. Well, you know, look, I mean, it ain't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, I mean, excuse my language, it ain't for everybody mm-hmm. as much, you know. So, no, man, look, I mean, the guy is a football player, man. And, you know, he's one of those guys, it's like, throw the ball here
mm-hmm.
in this radius, right? You know, this 10-foot radius, just give me a shot. And I'm gonna make a great effort and most of the time I'm gonna come down with the catch, you know. So I just think he does a great job, man, you know, and he should be such a comfort for Dak because Dak knows he doesn't have to be perfect with this guy, right?
Yeah.
Just get the ball over there by him and let him do the rest, you know. And I can tell, and you know, with CD being out for a couple, two or three, four games, whatever it was, they really got a connection. And it's still going with CD being back. So, I mean, that should be enough to get this team through it. But they just have so many little issues that they're dealing with. And we'll see. You know, leadership can change that. But everybody else has to be on board with the leadership, you know.
Drew Pearson gave me that line of a lot of guys have a catch radius. I had a zip code. And I was like, you put certain receivers in that category. Yeah. Y'all have to have that confidence. Yeah. Y'all have to have that belief in yourself.
No doubt.
And I love these messages that continue to come through from the 817. Mr. Brown, I loved your game on the field. However, I also love seeing you praise God when you're singing with the other NFL players. That's incredible. And then from the 469, my last name is Brown, and Tim Brown was the first jersey I ever owned, and he is the reason I am a Raiders fan today.
Wow. Part
that's
of the nation,
so cool.
Baby. No doubt. I mean, look, the Raider Nation is they're a part of the reason why I stayed in Oakland because, I mean, there was a point with the Raiders where we were a bad football team. Like in 96, I think we went 4-12 or 6-10 or whatever.
It was a tough season.
And And we were winning games away from home field. You know, we came home, we lose. And there was a game where we were playing so bad that they were booing us, right?
Oh.
And that just, I mean, and I had a radio show that was pretty popular for Raider Nation at that time. And that Tuesday, I just went off, man. I just went off on the nation, man. Like, you know, you guys call yourself real fans. You're not real fans. You're going to come to a game and boo your own team. What do you think? We're trying to drop passes. We're trying to miss tackles. Nobody trying to do that. Just having a bad, you know, we need you guys for support, right? And so everybody's like, Tim, you may have gone too hard, right? So these guys are, you know, these some hood brothers we're talking about here. So we got to be careful. So anyway, but the very next game, man, of course, we're playing bad again. And people start to boo. And you literally see people in the stands going, no, you know, like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
And they're looking right at you probably.
I was like, dang, they're actually listening. They're actually paying attention to what, you know. And I just thought that was remarkable that, and my time there, I'd never heard a boo again from a Raider fan, you know. So I just think that was remarkable. And I just said, look, why would I want to leave this fan base to go to any? Now, I would have came home to Dallas. I would have just to be home. But there was no reason for me. And the only reason I went to Tampa was because I was thinking that was going to be my last year, but I thought it was going to be my year to wave my towel on the sideline with the Raiders.
Right.
And they had different plans. So I had to go do something different. So.
Well, several years later, we tried to get back for you because when there was a Cowboys-Raiders joint practice, I did a wireless and I asked every single Raiders fan how long they'd been on probation. The second person I asked, he goes, all right, you got me about 6 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's real, bro. I mean, look, these brothers come up with tattoos and all this stuff. You know what I mean? That ain't, you know, you don't just get that walking down the street, bro. You know, so no, it's a different group, man. And I probably had 20, 21, 22 guys to fly to Dallas, have me to write their name, have me write my name on their arm or their leg, and they go get a tattoo.
Wow.
So they can, you know?
Wow.
Now, I've always had people around me when those people come because.
Sure. You just never know.
And I'll tell you guys one more story. This was early in my career. I mean, this is like 92, 93. And, you know, I'm just a guy, you know, I'm trying to come back from this major knee injury I had in 89 or whatever. And I'm at an autograph session in the mountains in California. I never forget because mountains were, I was outside looking at the mountains. And this kid was like, you know, he was obviously not a kid, but he was a small guy. he was just going back and forth. And I told security, let's just keep an eye on him, right? Because something's not right, right? And by the time he gets to me, he's in full tears, right? And he was like, Tim Brown, I love you, man. I was like, bro, it's cool. Just calm down. He said, no, I love you. This brother pulls up his shirt, and he has a full body tattoo of me.
Wow.
And it's me catching a pass, like wrapping around his body. I said, bro, you know in 30 years that my arm's going to be down here. he had a full body tattoo of me, man.
That is crazy.
And I had never, and that was the only time I've ever seen that. And I just thought that was crazy. But it was scary, pretty too, awesome at the same time. So.
I think that's a great description. That's crazy awesome, and impressive.
Scary.
Yeah.
Just a little scary. Let's be truthful here.
So. Man, thank you so much for the time.
The last show? I'm here for the last show?
We're shutting it down.
Yeah.
What better way to do it than with the Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Brown, coming up next. We will talk with Corey Majors for the C-Block right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.